Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah. Baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic. Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is Anissa and Ellen Raw. We hope everybody's doing really well. It's beautiful here in Atlanta. It's pretty humid, though. Who else is here?
Though.
No, it's not bad. Who else is here?
Who else is here?
Who's on
me,
her phone?
Me.
Who's me?
Christina.
Christina's with us.
La Chica.
That's right, La Chica.
I was looking for something.
So, yeah, it's beautiful here in Atlanta. It's just a little bit humid, a little warm. The armpits are sweating a little bit.
For sure.
Yep. So everybody's good. Christina started a new gig.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I really love when, I guess even if it happens to bad people, but I really love when good things happen to good people that I know. It always makes me feel so warm inside. I just, people say, oh, I'm happy for you. Like,
you literally are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, there I said, like, Jesse. I can hear my daughter. My daughter says, Mom, you need to work on the, but she was so bummed. She texted me yesterday to say, where is the new episode? I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Well.
Because we were on a hiatus.
And she said on Monday, she starts thinking about on Wednesday, I get a new episode.
I love that.
Yeah. My daughters love Raw. They love it.
I've had a lot of comments on it. Yeah. A lot of folks who are pretty proud of us and who listened.
My son, Dylan, the big, tall Dylan. I asked him if he had heard the podcast because he blogs and he wants to possibly do a podcast. And he's like, yes, Mom, I've heard it. And I was like, what? What's wrong, Dylan? He said, Katie, that's his girlfriend, listens to it in the car.
Oh, my
gosh. And so I have to hear you. So he said that it's him, not so much. He says, I like comedy, so it's not really my thing, Mom. But
well, Chuck, my husband Chuck listens to podcasts daily. He walks. He'll go and work out in the morning, and then if the weather is nice, he'll just do a little extra cardio and walk. And he does it to catch up on his podcast. And mostly they're sports related, but he also listens, I think, to Clark Howard, and he's really into the music podcast. So I kept bugging him, did you listen to ours? Mm-hmm. And finally he did, and he said that he walked around the lake and he listened to the podcast, and it was the first podcast he's actually listened to the entire thing. Because usually he sort of gets bored and he'll change podcasts, he'll go to a different one. But he said he listened to ours and he loved it.
Wow.
I know. That's crazy. Because he's like totally not a chick. He's like Clemson and football and music. And so for him to like listen to our bullshit for a whole like 40 minutes was saying something.
It is saying something. It's nice.
I haven't bugged mine yet, but I'm kind of on the fence. I'm like, do I tell him, hey, listen? Like, I don't know, because I'm feeling like...
He should listen to your podcast. It's hysterical.
I know.
It's hysterical.
Oh, yes.
It's pretty good. We've had some really good feedback on Christina's podcast. Totally.
Nobody has told me anything.
I guess it's because I just see you all the time and I forget. So Robin loves it.
Yes, Robin loves it.
She thought it was hysterical.
Jesse was texting me while she was listening to it going, I am laughing and crying. I am laughing and crying and just how inspiring you climbing the wall and your husband cheering you on. Yeah. She was so touched by that. So touched. So you see?
Yeah.
All the stories make a difference. And even millennial, even 20-somethings.
That's what I'm super excited about. That we're bridging the gap and everybody is jumping on the
authenticity bandwagon. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So today we're going to talk a little bit. We brought Christina in. Well, Christina will be in a lot, but we specifically brought her in today because on May the 25th, we did a march against the Georgia heartbeat bill here mm-hmm. in Atlanta. And for those of you who don't know anything about it, which you should, the Georgia heartbeat bill was signed by Governor Kemp. I don't know, May. It was in early May. And the bill bans abortions as early as 6 weeks.
As the heartbeat.
When, yeah, mm-hmm. when doctors say that they can hear the fetal heartbeat.
Or
so
somewhat detect it.
Detect it. And mm-hmm. this goes along with the bill that was signed in Alabama, which is
which
extremely...
most people don't even know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. So yeah.
Exactly.
So crazy. So
basically what it does is outlaw abortion.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, we just feel strongly about it. And it's not that we, me personally, I if I'm in that situation, I have no idea what I would do. I mean, everybody's different. Every situation is different. But when the three of us talk about this a lot, it's not about whether or not you're pro-choice, you know, pro-life. It's about your right to make that decision for yourself and your body. So if Christina was pro-life and I'm pro-choice, she can believe whatever it is that she believes, and I will respect that and honor that. I will not dismiss it. Our point is, don't take that right away from us to make a decision for ourselves about our own bodies. You know, you don't, the bill doesn't hurt people who are pro-life, meaning, you know, but it hurts people who are pro-choice or who are in a situation where that has to be an option for them. Mm-hmm. So to not put this bill into place is not going to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it just is taking, you know, we fight for women's rights all the time, right? For equal pay, right? For all sorts of things. And
for everyone. So yeah. It's not even when we were marching, you know, we were saying it. And actually, you know, there were several men at the march.
A lot of men.
We saw some transgender people. Yeah, we saw, you know, I mean.
Families.
Families. Children were with, yeah.
Once one group starts to lose some liberties, you can be damn sure that it's coming to others.
Yeah.
And so many people, I mean, like when I think about it from a collective standpoint, how many people have given their lives in the past for us to have some of the liberties that we have? And I think it's such a slap in the face mm-hmm. to just sign a pen as a coward, to take away that, I mean, he should have to sit in front of people
right.
who have been through
yeah.
incest or right. raped or these kinds of things. He should have to sit there and listen to them talk about the fact that they, if they were pregnant, what that would do to them. He should have to listen to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Before he gets to just mm-hmm. sit in his office and sign something based on whatever a political agenda, because it's a political agenda or it wouldn't be occurring, in my opinion. So I just think that it's a slap in the face to so much of history that has gotten us to where we are. And why would we go? We saw so many people talking about why go backwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were lots of people there who probably from a religious perspective
right.
are not pro-choice,
right?
But they felt like, you know, you were taking a step back in terms of human rights
right.
in doing
the
something
amount of
like
signs that were the amount of signs that people came up with were awesome. Like mm-hmm. it was, you know, when we decided to do it, it was actually Anissa's daughter, mm-hmm. Jessie, who had decided, hey, this is going on. Do you want to join me? And so Anissa and I absolutely were going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then of course, Christina came with us, but I didn't know what to expect. Like literally we left the gym. We went down to MARTA and we were going to get on the train. And there were tons of teenage girls,
yes.
young
oh,
girls,
yes.
with
college
their signs,
age girls,
college age
yes.
girls with their signs. The closer we got down there to downtown, men with mm-hmm. their signs, families, there were so many people. I was so happy. Like I was really proud of all of us.
It made me so hopeful, even in a way too, about the next generation. You know, people say a lot of negative things about millennials and post-millennials, and I probably have a few comments having managed millennials that I could add to that mix. But looking at that day, when I was their age, I would have never. I'd have been like, you want me to do what? There's what? A what? Why? What is that about? Where's the party? That's what I wanted, right? Where's the party tonight? I don't. Oh, you want me to be conscious and think on a global perspective? And I mean, never. Me, myself, and I, and maybe a few of my girlfriends, that was where my heart was at. Mm-hmm. And so you see all of these young men.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Young women. And they want to have a voice. I mean, this was Memorial Weekend.
It was.
So they weren't at the lake. Mm-mm. And here they are.
We were sweating our asses off downtown, walking.
So I think that says something. And to me, with all of the things that are happening these days that are just horrific, and so much of our, even in this country, just so many things that I just want to hide my head in shame that we're, as a country, collectively doing. I look at them and I think, oh, you know what? It might turn out to be okay, actually. They actually may spirit us into something that is more accepting. Mm-hmm. And more filled with love and understanding, and everybody having a chance to have a say in the matter.
Mm-hmm. I know Christina, one of the things that drove Christina really was, you know, Christina has a young daughter. Mm-hmm. And of course, Nyssa's children are already grown, but Christina has a young daughter. And so she was adamant about going down there with us because of Sam and
my nieces. I mean, I have two 12-year-old nieces, and then I also have my daughter, and I have little cousins and whatnot. But this topic in general infuriates me because it's the way of these ignorant, and I'm gonna say it's ignorant men taking away women's rights to choose because they feel that we are not intelligent enough to make our own decisions. Mm-hmm. And the thing that upsets me the most is they talk about, you know, oh, pro-life, let's save this child, blah, blah, blah. But once the baby's born, they totally completely forget about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like,
God forbid,
out of
that
sight,
baby grow up to be gay or transgender or anything like that.
Or black, brown, you know, Muslim, you know, or illegal, you know, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, you know, there's a strain on society, you know, this person's on welfare and now we have all these kids. Like, okay, there's a reason why some women have to make that choice because they know they cannot provide for that child because of their situation. They were either raped, it's incest, their partner left them, they made a mistake. They don't even know who the partner was sometimes. You know what I mean? And
or they just don't want,
they just
to, be
don't want
mother.
To be a mother. Right. Exactly. And to go through a pregnancy changes you completely. You know, you could have been the most selfish person, and all of a sudden going through this pregnancy, you change. You really do change. But at the same time, there's also some women that don't change and they become bad moms. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because they don't have the option but to be a mom and to raise kids, and they continuously get pregnant because A, they were not properly educated on, you know, prevention, pregnancy prevention, or they don't have access to, you know, prophylactics or any type of care. So all they know is, well, I'm just going to keep popping these kids and, you know, God forbid, or hope that, you know, they end up doing something good with themselves. But as long as they're out of my sight or mine, you know, that's all there is. And it's unfortunate because I know some personally, and I've met people and women that are in that situation. And it's really sad to see because you really don't see how those children are going to come out of that situation because that's all they know. And that's why we have those cycles as well.
And
know?
So then is it really pro-life or is it just pro-birth?
It's just pro-birth. Yes, and that's exactly what it is. It's nothing but pro-birth.
Right.
And that's what infuriates me because I've actually tried to have open conversations with pro-lifers that, you know, they're like, you know, I put a post about, you know, pro-choice, and then they'll come back with the, oh, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And then I'll have a conversation. I said, okay, well, especially on the Me Too movement, not Me Too, I'm sorry, the Georgia, the pro-choice page, the women's group that put together the march.
Okay. Oh yeah, the gosh, I can't think of the name of the
group. Do Better Georgia.
Do Better Georgia. Yeah, that's who it is.
So I started following them, right? And so they put a post about the bill when it got signed or whatever. And some person put a comment like, oh, well, you know, you stop murdering these babies and yada, yada, whatever. And then I responded like seriously, like, hey, if you're so pro-life and you're so gung-ho about saving all these, you know, quote-unquote, you know, infants and whatnot. Mm. And I was like, I don't want to see you protesting against, you know, healthcare for everybody you know, assisting these mothers. And I go, because then if that's the case, then my solution would be then these mothers who were denied the abortions because of their personal choice. Mm-hmm. And if they need the assistance, then they need to be taken care of until the kid is 18 and what. And I just put a list of facts of, okay, well, then are you going to do this? Da, da, da. And his response was very like, no, that's not my responsibility. That's the mother's response. She should have closed her legs.
I know. Right? That's the first thing everybody says.
It takes
says.
Two.
That's Guess what everybody what? Says.
Without the sperm, it doesn't happen.
But yet just we saying, don't want to hold men accountable.
I know. Well, that's one. What we there was even a sign that 100% birth control starts with the man or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and I don't even think, like we were saying, it's really just about having the choice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, can you truly sit here and say, I mean, even people who use protection, who use birth control, still get pregnant, you know? I mean, can you literally sit here today in this moment and say, well, they shouldn't have babies. If they didn't want to have babies, they shouldn't have sex in the first place. I mean, you get caught up in the moment. Things that happen. Things are going on. Just like when I said earlier, if I got pregnant right now, it would be an immaculate conception because I have had it distract me. But if I did get pregnant, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I wouldn't at first think I would want an abortion, but then maybe I have no idea. You know, but I want to have the choice to make that decision if I felt that was right for me. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I totally am pro-choice, but I'm not going to sit here and say everybody, you know, everybody should have if they want to have an abortion, you know, that's their. I have no idea. Every situation is different. Every moment is different. Mm-hmm. But we cannot take those rights away. You know, we're supposed to live in the land of the free and the greatest country in the world with all of these freedoms. And it feels like, you know, things are happening so fast. Like, I was actually completely shocked that this happened.
Yeah.
Because Roe versus Wade and all that happened to get that. I mean, when the whole Alabama thing came through, I was extremely shocked, but then, I mean, I hate to say this, I was just like, oh, it's just a bunch of redneck little southern dudes that are like, you know.
Bingo.
And here's the other thing, too. I have interactions with all walks of life, and I have some friends that can't have kids, and they're pro-life. And their response to everything was like, oh, well, if those girls don't want them, they could adopt. I want to adopt them because I can't have a baby. And they're given the most precious gift ever and yada, yada, yada. I get it. Not everybody is, you know, lucky enough to be able to bear a child and carry a pregnancy full term. And my heart really does go out to them. But it's kind of like they're saying, well, if I can do it and you can, then you have to. You know what I mean? And that kind of takes away from the fact that, you know, it's like they're taking their personal struggle and they're punishing everybody else for it. You know what I mean? And I said, well, and my response was like, well, adopt then. If you're, you know, you want to have a kid, then adopt. Oh, no, I want to have my own. And a lot of them say that. And my heart really does go out to you. And I've had these conversations with these friends. So now I'm like, you know, when they've struggled and they've tried so many times, they've tried, you know, IV and the drugs and everything, and it's failed. And I've seen what they've gone through and everything. And, you know, there's actually a friend of mine who actually stopped talking to me because I'm so, you know, I feel so strongly about, you know, this. And I told her, and I go, I'm not trying, I'm not saying, just because I'm pro-choice doesn't mean that I'm saying every pregnant person needs to go get an abortion. Because that's kind of what it's turning out to be like. Like, the mindset is like, everybody is like, oh my God, I'm so scared if the law stands that you can get an abortion, oh, that's it. Everybody has to get an abortion. Like, no. And that seems to be the mentality that I'm coming across when I have these conversations.
Well, I think people think that the women who get pregnant and want to have abortion, that it's just an easy means to have the right to have an abortion. It's just an easy way to, if you make a mistake, you wake up the one morning, you find out you're pregnant, and oh, I'll just go get an abortion. And it's not like that at all. For some people, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. If that's what they want to do, if that's who they are, then so be it.
And here's,
you know, we don't like it. That's not who we are, but it's their choice. It's just like anything, you know. I don't like it when people, I think smoking is disgusting. I think it's terrible. I think that it's something that completely could have been controlled to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do it for myself. I think you're just slowly killing yourself, and it's a disgusting, nasty habit. But do it if you want to do it. I mean,
just don't blow it in my face.
You know, right. It's like those situations where people have the right to act. I think about this all the time. You can treat me and act however you want to. It's my responsibility to react and respond the way that I see fit for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Anissa sleeps around and gets pregnant and has had 5 abortions, that's her business. I don't think it's good for her. I don't think that's the way she needs to act.
And you may choose that you don't want to spend time with me anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, so I think some people think, oh, well, you know, then this is just going to be the easy way out for some people. You know, they can just go and kill a fetus and not have to be. It's not, I don't believe that it's like that. I think maybe there's a small percentage, mm-hmm. but I don't think for the most part people are like that, truly. The people that I know mm-hmm. that have had an abortion, and I have had a handful of friends that have, it has been a huge weight to try to decide what to do. Like, you can sit there and say, okay, I cannot have a baby. I would not be able to support this baby. I don't have a job. It's a huge thing. It's not one of those, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant, I don't want to have a child, you know, I'll just go take care of it. I mean, yes, in certain instances, but all the friends that I know that have had them, it has been a tough, not even decision, even the process of like, yeah, you want to have it. The process of going through having it is very heavy,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though you know it's the right thing for yourself and it's the best thing for you, your life, the child's life eventually, like all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a heavy, heavy thing to decide, to think about, you know?
Well, the other thing too is if these legislators are so gung-ho about completely eliminating it, what's their solution to it? They're not providing a solution. They're not saying, okay, we're going to give you free birth control, we're going to give you free screenings, healthcare, or support, or anything like that. They're not even doing any of that. And it's like, you take away one, but you don't provide a solution. And mm-hmm. the other thing too is, I don't know if you were aware, but if I was single or even married, like for example, let's say I'm a woman that decides I don't want to be a mom. And there's a lot of women that I know that are good friends of mine that are they don't have the mommy in me. You know,
right.
What I mean?
My daughter Nicole does not want to have children.
And
that's fine.
You cannot go to the doctor and get sterilized. You can't do that. They will not sterilize you. If you decide tie my tubes, the doctor will be like, no, you have to have at least 2 kids before they sterilize you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You have to have at least 2 kids if you want to get your tubes tied.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. I mean, of course, unless I haven't had children.
Unless you have a medical condition that will, like, it's like a life-threatening type thing, then, you know, that's like the last option. Mm-hmm. But you can't. You can't. Because I actually, at first, before I had Rigo, I was like still 20. And I was like, I actually, my parents used to be so scared that, because I used to threaten everybody. I was like, I'm never getting married and I'm never having kids. Mm-hmm. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to have fun. I'm doing me. Because growing up, I was responsible for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was burned out by the time I was 18. That's why at 19, I packed up and I left. You know what I mean? I moved to San Diego on my own. And I just didn't feel like I had it in me because I feel I already gave it all.
Right.
And I remember I went for my yearly because I'm very adamant about that and taking care of myself. I asked the doctor, I was like, I don't want to have kids. I said, I don't want to be on birth control. I don't want to do any of that stuff. Can you please just sterilize me? Tie my tubes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, You're 20 years old. What do you know about
right.
life? Like basically talking down to me, and I'm like, no, I know what I want. I don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for me. I've already raised everybody else's kids. I'm done. Let me do me.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't. I went to 3 different doctors, and they all said the same thing. Hmm. I even upped it to do some counseling, and I talked to a counselor about it, and I'm like, I don't want it. I don't, you know, I don't want to go through this.
And now how many kids do you have?
And now I have 3 kids. Well, but you know, things happen for a reason, but right. the thing is,
but you know,
I didn't get the choice.
Right.
Like that was my choice. I know what I wanted, what was best for me, but I wasn't allowed to do that because somebody felt that they knew better what was better for me than me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not right.
No. And looking back now, you have your 3, but if you had been able to have that choice, you wouldn't know any different.
No.
So, no. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know any different. So and it wouldn't matter. It's not like, oh, you would really feel so bad. You would have no idea.
And honestly,
you wouldn't know any different.
I think that I would be fulfilled if I didn't have kids because I helped raise my brothers and sisters and my little cousins and whatnot. And everybody else was having kids. And I was happy helping and holding and just having that moment like, oh, right. how cute. And then that's it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's how, you know, my husband, you know, when I first met him, by the time I already had rehab Regal and, you know, and I told him, I was like, I don't want kids. Are you okay with not wanting kids? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm already 37. I've come this far with no kids. I think I'm good. Like, we were good. But, you know, things happen and we ended up with Santana and Samantha.
Who are adorable.
But that's the thing is like, you know, whether I had them or not, I don't think I would feel like I was missing something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that still bugs me. The fact that we're not given that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be our choice because it's our body. You know what I mean? We get the choice to make our boobs bigger, our butts bigger, suck fat, put fat and all this other stuff. But yet, one of the most important things that we want to choose, we can't do.
I wonder if men are allowed to have a vasectomy if they don't have
any children.
I think
it should be mandatory, period.
You know what I'm saying? Like if a man doesn't have any children yet and doesn't want to, if they can, that would be interesting, right? To know,
I don't know
if they can just go and have a vasectomy.
I know 3 guys who did get it because they're complete playboys. And they're like, I don't want no oopsies and whatnots, and they went and got it done really then. And that's the thing that upset me the most is that they got it done early. I think one of the youngest, he was 23 when he got his, and the other one was like 28 and 30 when the other 2 got theirs. And they just went in, got the appointment, snip snip done, could put an ice pack, and they were good to go. And
that's
why I was like, that's why it's such a double standard. It's such a double standard.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
It just made me think of Handmaid's Tale, talking about, you know, this whole, and there were people at the march
that were dressed
like Handmaid's Tale. And
in fact, it was the Do Better Georgia team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were
dressed up.
They were in the garb. And, you know, I think that when you start taking... When a minority group who has the majority of the power, starts making choices that take away such fundamental things like decisions about your body. Mm-hmm. You're not too far off from stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watch the show and God, it's fucking badass show. I love it.
I've never watched it.
Oh my gosh. Plus I read the book in college and stuff. So, but things like that, that get out of control, start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right?
They start somewhere, and that somewhere can be, you know, Kemp signing this, that it starts somewhere. Unless people say no in March or protest or speak about it, have these conversations. I mean, even in the Raw group, when we were talking about coming to the march, you know, there were a few members that said, well, I don't know how I feel about that. And our response was always, you feel any way you want.
Exactly.
We are a non-judgment zone at mm-hmm. all. If you're like, it is completely against my religious and my spiritual beliefs. Absolutely.
We're not trying to convince
right
people that how we feel is the way they should feel. We're trying to protest it and trying to say, hey, listen, you can't take away these rights. You just can't do this. If you don't know, if you haven't read anything about it, there are a lot here in Atlanta. There are a lot of film companies that come in and film. So Ozark is filmed here. Walking Dead is filmed here.
Roswell.
Will Smith's, his movie with Bad Boys was mm-hmm. filmed here. So there's a lot, and I think it's just to do with the cost of doing mm-hmm. all of this. So there's
a lot.
Yeah. It's huge here. So there are a lot of actors and actresses. I mean, if you've kept up in the news, Alyssa Milano is huge in encouraging production companies, movie companies to not film in Georgia because of this. And it's not going into effect until next year, 2020, right?
I think,
mm-hmm. I think it's 2020.
2020 or 2020. 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 2020. So she and a whole bunch of people in the film industry,
and production
celebrities,
companies.
Yeah, celebrities mm-hmm. and stuff are saying, do not film, take your business out. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jason Bateman mm-hmm. said he will take Ozark yep. out of here filming it. So
I think
there's
Disney
a lot.
Talked mm-hmm. about not participating.
Yes.
You know,
so it's a huge thing here, you know, and it's what Anissa said. So when I originally posted it in, Anissa and I texted about this because I said, you know, this is super important. I feel like we need to make a comment about it. And this was before Jesse had reached
this
out.
This was just
said,
when the Alabama stuff, yeah, we were talking about
in.
The
I
Alabama.
Said, well, I think we really need to make some sort of comment about it because it was prevalent in the news and it affects women mm-hmm. and that's what we're all about. So we texted back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then Anissa said, oh my gosh, Jesse, there's this march. Jesse wants to go. Do you want to do it? And I said, yeah, that's a perfect way to introduce
to have this conversation.
So my post was, you know, Anissa and I are going to do this. If you would like to join us, this is how we feel. If you feel opposite than us, that is absolutely, we honor everybody's viewpoint. You know, I was taught, because my dad is a political scientist, he's a history professor, our family is a very liberal Democrat. I'm like, we were raised just to be completely open-minded, to love everybody. So when, you know, we posted, but my dad always says to us, I don't care how you feel about something. You don't have to agree on the same way as me, but just be informed. Like, just read about it. Just get as much information. Don't make some random thing, you know, statement and say you believe something if you don't really know what it's about. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of how I approached the post. It was like, you know, this is how we feel. This is what we think about it. We honor how you feel. You have every right to feel how you want to feel. You know, just be informed, you know
know that this is happening in your state, yeah, and that this affects you. This affects your daughters. This affects your wives. This affects your friends. This affects, you know, an entire half of the population. Yeah. And we didn't get a say about it. And who gets to do that?
I know.
I mean, and that's the other part. Like, first I think coward, and then the other half is, oh my gosh, the ego. The ego that you must have to be able to think that you have a right to decide that for somebody. It's the same thing with marriage, gay marriage. You know, we're in Pride Month right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do I care what you do?
I know.
It's
so interesting. Isn't it interesting? It's so
interesting. I have enough on my plate with my own life. I don't.
Well, I
don't
think about that sometimes. Like, I think about that sometimes. I think about how passionate people. I firmly believe all you need is love. Mm-hmm. Like, I firmly believe you should love everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have some semblance of love for everybody. I mean, obviously there's those psycho, evil, killer, murderer type people and people who have no heart and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Which is a totally different podcast. But it baffles me when my dad could probably give you some mumbo jumbo about it. You know, he's like a behavioral scientist. He knows, he reads people, but like, why people get so upset that two people love each other, whether they're two males, two females. Like, I'm like with you. I'm like, who the fuck cares?
I mean,
like, who
think
cares?
About in the think about how crazy this is that in the 60s, you would see a biracial couple, and
yes,
that made it. I mean, literally, it is the pigmentation in your skin that makes the
seriously
difference, right? The fact of a little bit of genetic. I mean, it's to
say that, to look at Christina and say, oh, well, she's Mexican or she's this. I mean, she's just a person.
Right.
I mean, and I know I come from a different, like, who cares if you and Christina were sleeping together? Like, okay, maybe they're looking at each other. Christina's eyebrows are going up. Like, okay, I get it. If you don't want any details, that's your business type of stuff. But people obsess over that.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy.
Crazy anger and hate. And there was that post on Facebook of the couple in London who were on the bus, and it was late. It was like 2 a.m. And they were, and I know we're transitioning and segueing to something else, but
that's fine.
They were on the bus at 2 a.m. They were in the back of the bus. I think there were just maybe a handful of guys. I think they were together and the bus driver. They pecked each other on the lips. And then the dudes were like, kiss each other again. And because they wouldn't, they beat those two girls up. Like, beat them up bloody. And the bus driver pulled over and called the police. They, like, the picture that was on Facebook was her white shirt just. Like, it,
like
made me so mad. Anissa knows this. I cannot. I am so easygoing. I love everybody.
Until.
You know, if you're ignorant and say stupid shit, I just sort of roll, you know, I just kind of keep it to myself. I mean, unless you're going to say ignorant shit to me, and then I'm probably going to put you in your place. But that's okay. If you're just ignorant and uneducated or just don't know any better or are uninformed, I mean, what am I going to do about that? But if you fucking bully somebody, I will fucking tear you to pieces. And if you stand by and watch somebody,
you're just as guilty.
I am. That drives me. I get so. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is going to probably will make some people mad but I'm going to say it anyways. So here's the thing.
Raw.
It is. I would not want to sit next to a heterosexual couple that's like all up in each other's business and, you know, all of just whatever, or, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, if you're girlfriends and you're kind of talking a little bit, that's fine. And it's the same way. It's not like I don't want to see the two men or the two women. I don't want to see none of y'all doing that stuff. Like, while I'm trying to eat my salad. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
I see what you mean. I know sometimes some people just get a little bit, and even straight couples do it too, and it's annoying.
That's what I mean.
But I mean,
just that whole overkill of a PDA. Yeah.
And so I just don't feel like that it's necessarily appropriate at all. But what you do in your own home and what you do in your own, and who you decide to love.
Who cares?
Is up to it's up you.
I have this, I think about this all the time. So I have a really good friend whose parents are so, I mean, you try to make excuses. Well, they're in their 80s and you can't change them, all that kind of stuff. They're in their 80s and they are unhealthy. So the trips to the doctor are frequent and they are complete bigots, racist, homophobic. You know, I am surprised that my friend did not turn out that way. He is completely different than that. Mm-hmm. I think he just went off to college. And you know, when you go off to college, you meet people mm-hmm. from all different, and I think it just woke him up. And he's totally not like that. His family's awesome. But they are so, so homophobic. But they don't know that their primary endocrinologist physician is gay. This person that they've gone through that takes care of them, that they adore and love, is homosexual. So I'm always asking him, are you going to...
Do they know yet?
Do they know? I mean, are you ever going to tell? And of course, they're in their 80s. So of course, he's like, well, no. I mean, quality right. of life. And of course, when they go... And so I asked, does the doctor know that they're... And he said he didn't know, because when they go, they just lavish him with right. love.
And they don't say those kinds of things out in public.
That brings mm-hmm. up something that isn't you know, it interesting? Triggered. Yeah, it's interesting.
What's I was going to say? So if you were in a car, if you were homophobic mm-hmm. and you were in a car wreck, mm-hmm. terrible car wreck, and you go to the hospital or even the EMTs, and they're, I mean, what would you do? Would you refuse them to help you mm-hmm. if you found out they were gay or...
Because they're going to come and say, hey.
Yeah, or okay? whatever, or you know, or after the fact. I mean, it fascinates me.
Like, at what point does it become okay? I guess when the pain of it not being okay costs you your life, right? I mean, and here's the way that I think about it. We all know that I'm out of the metaphysical closet, so to speak, and so. You know, I really, there's a connectedness to every single thing. And so if there's electricity running in all these different light bulbs and you've got a pink light bulb over here and a white light bulb over here and a red light bulb over here and all of these different light bulbs, the electricity within that light bulb is the same mm-hmm. no matter what.
No, no matter yeah. what color.
And the different colors of the light bulb cast different lights and different experiences because life is not meant to be boring. If we were all walking around exactly the same, oh my God, how boring would that be?
Stepford Wives.
Well, here's you know? The thing too. Think about it. Okay. And this is a question I'm putting out to all our pro-life listeners. How would you feel if your caretaker, your doctor, your nurse, your trainer, whoever that person in your life is or has had an abortion? Are you going to treat that person differently? Are you going to remove yourself from them? It's kind of the same mm-hmm. way, you know, it's like if you knew what that person's, you know, choices are, or if even if they're pro-choice, like, does that mean you're going to stop talking to me because I'm pro-choice? Are you going to stop talking to me
because
if I had
an abortion? Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it's something like that you got to think about as well.
I mean, you could be your very best friend in the whole world.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you may not know.
Could be had an abortion and just is so personal to her and she would not ever speak of it to anybody and you
or
know,
maybe
you're sitting
we
there.
Can all just consciously agree to disagree and
exactly.
it's okay.
Exactly.
And it's okay. And it can just
be
about
we could just talk about this like forever,
rights.
Can we?
I know, but yeah. he's given us the high
Brian's
sign.
Brian's given
I
us
know.
The...
So here's the thing. So here's the post that I posted and, uh-huh. and it just says simply this and let it resonate.
Just because I am pro-choice does not mean I am pro-abortion.
Right.
It means I understand your choice is none of my fucking business, and I will always fight for your right to choose.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yes. That's what
I think we can end on that note.
I think we can end on it too.
It was so nice to have you here again, Christina. We're not all hot mess nervous like we were a second episode. Awesome.
I love it.
It was awesome. Though. We've had so many comments about the whole shit. Yep. The whole fire question.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. You guys suck. And then not only that, you guys label my whole thing shit. I'm like, really?
I said, no. Sometimes life is shitty.
Literally.
Literally. So. It was so good.
All right. No, so, we're good. We're good. We're just going to tell you that you can find us at Anissa Ellen Raw. At Anissa Ellen Raw. You can.
www.atlpodcastnetwork.com.
Yep.
You can hit up Atlanta Podcast Network on Instagram as well. It's ATL Podcast Network and then Atlanta Podcast Network.
Right.
Ellen Nicole and Anissa Amison and Zupper.
Zupper Mommy 3.
On Instagram or just me, myself, and I, Christina Duran Mendoza on Facebook.
Awesome.
So I'm good.
All right.
We're good. We did some good, right? Good citizenship.
I think so.
We sweated our asses off, but it was worth it.
Peace out.
Peace out. Bye, love guys. You, girls.
Bye.